Take our Bibles tonight and turn to 1 Timothy and chapter 2. Let's get back to our study of 1 Timothy chapter 2. We come tonight to consider a short passage, but don't get carried away. That doesn't necessarily mean a short message. As you know, we'll keep it within the girls. And I mentioned this morning how blessed I was and our whole church was during that when we started letting the kids come in, and I would repeat that tonight so that if you didn't hear that, you will hear it. And if you did hear it, you'll know that that really is remarkable. You'd be surprised. In a lot of churches, anything like that would just be a major turmoil and an uproar. And, of course, nobody likes change. And the older we get, the less we like it and the more resistant we are to it. Somebody said you can tell a person's age by how much they resist change, and there's probably a lot to that. But at any rate, that was a major change. You know, here we have a section reserved and a kind of off limits. And yet we knew it was for the kids. And so it was widely and generally accepted, and that's because you love kids. And it shows. I hear comment after comment how this is just the icing on the cake every Sunday when we see our boys and girls come in and have a chance after the service, if you're able to hang around, to love on them and just encourage them about learning their verses and learning songs and being a part of Awana or the Sunday night program in the summer. Well, let's look to 1 Timothy, and we come back to where we have left off. Chapter 2 and verse 5. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time, whereunto I gained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Let's bow together. Lord, we come to you again tonight to thank you for the privilege of being here. And thank you again, Lord, for the blessing this service has been to our hearts. Thank you for the good singing. Thank you for the truth of this song we just heard. And to know that by your grace we stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. What a saving is ours. What grace you have bestowed upon us that in spite of our failures and our rebellion and our enmity against you, Lord, our own selfish ways and sinful desires, in spite of all that, you've washed us clean and white, and you've made us fit to have fellowship with you. And Lord, it's all because of you. We give you the praise you deserve. And thank you again now for your word. We pray you would just implant it into our hearts tonight. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are certain verses in the Bible that have so much truth in the compass of one verse. John 3:16, perfect example. We quote that often, and for good reason, because everything is there in that one verse. A similar verse would be this verse we just read, verse 5. What a verse that is. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I want to preach to you tonight on this subject. Jesus Christ is our mediator. What a topic. What a verse. Just think of this one verse. It refutes so much error in this world today. If you only had this one verse, you could refute a lot of false teachings and false belief systems. Well, one of them is atheism. Some say, well, there is no God. This verse begs to differ. There is one God. Another false view is polytheism. That is, that there are many gods. There are many places in the world today. Those who go to Thailand will tell us. They're here tonight, some of them that have been there. They would tell us, over there they believe in many gods. Many parts of the world believe in many gods. This verse refutes that false teaching of polytheism. We believe in monotheism. There is but one God. Why? Because the Bible says so. There is one God. And then there's some who would lead us to believe there is no need for a Savior or a mediator because there is no sin and we're basically pretty good. Well, this verse clearly refutes that. And then there are those who tell us that there are many ways to heaven and not just one. Sometimes it's called pluralism. That is, just any road to heaven is as valid as the other. Just pick your road and be genuine and sincere and you'll make it. But this Bible of mine and this verse right here before us, it is totally opposite. What does the Bible say? There is one mediator, not many. There's one mediator between God and men. And then there is the false teaching that it doesn't really matter what you believe about Jesus. Well, Jesus was a good man, or Jesus was not God. Some people believe that false teaching. But right here, mediator between God and men, and he was God and man. And therefore, he can be our perfect mediator. So there's a lot of false teaching that is refuted by this one profound and sublime truth. One God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. This also, by the way, refutes universalism, which it teaches that it really doesn't matter what we believe or if we believe anything. Everybody's going to make it. And even some churches promote that. This verse has that and refutes that. There is a holy God, and the way for man made right with holy God is this one mediator, our Lord, our Savior. Now, the Father planned salvation. The Trinity is involved in your salvation. God the Father planned it. And the Holy Spirit applies it. Just like these six that were baptized this morning. The Holy Spirit worked in their hearts, didn't he? He was at work to convict them and to show them their need of a Savior, to open their heart and to woo them and draw them, as the Bible says. But with the Father planning and the Holy Spirit applying, there still had to be that redemption that we just heard the wonderful song about. The price had to be paid. And who did that? None other than our Lord and our Savior. And in that role, he is called the mediator. I want you to think about the truths in this verse or in this passage. Very simple and yet very, very powerful. Well, one thing, we didn't go back to verse 4, but it leads in to where we just read. And it is the very simple and profound truth that God desires all people to be saved. Look again at verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth? And then the truth being what we've just read. The Lord desires all people to be saved. What a magnificent truth that is. What a tremendous reminder that is to all of us that God wants everyone, everywhere, to know about his Son and this mediator that I'm preaching of tonight. And then there is only one God, as we've seen. And then there's only one mediator between God and men. And then this mediator is none other than the man, Christ Jesus. And then the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ died himself as a ransom, as a payment for sin. We'll get into that word ransom here in just a moment. So you have so very much here. The right person did the right thing in the right way at the right time. No one else could do what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me. Sometimes I think about this. I don't always think about it, but it struck me as we were singing tonight. And then when Rick and the choir sang that song about I Stand Redeemed, sometimes I'll think, and I don't know if your mind travels this way or not, but I'll think, what if the Lord were here in person? Would he be pleased with our worship? And there's no doubt in my mind, the singing that we've had, the sermon text that we have, the truth that we're preaching, the Lord himself is honored. I think sometimes about this, a kind of a lesser thought, but still a good one. The Apostle Paul. You ever thought, what would it be like if the Apostle Paul somehow could come through the door and we say, wow, there's the Apostle Paul. May I tell you that with a service like we have tonight, he would feel right at home? Because this is what he wrote. This is what he preached. This is what he believed. This is the Savior that he represented, that he went around everywhere telling people about. This is what thrills our soul to know that we believe the same thing that Paul believed 2,000 years ago. This is the same truth that's been around and we're upholding this, and we're clinging to this, and we're delving into this truth, how precious it is. Well, with that having been said, I want to mention several things from the text tonight. First of all, let's talk about the role of Christ as mediator. What is this term mediator anyway? It's not an everyday kind of term, but it is a very, very important one. The role of Christ as mediator. It comes from a Greek word which means basically a go-between. Somebody who's a go-between. We might better think of it, a better term it would probably connect with us, is a middleman. A middleman. Years ago, at our other church, our former church in West Tennessee, we printed up some t-shirts. And somebody came up with the idea. I don't know where it came from, but it's a good idea. The design on the t-shirts was true to Scripture. And what it showed was a Calvary, the hill called Calvary, the crosses. And we know that Jesus died in the middle of the two thieves. And so there was the larger cross and then the two side crosses. And then to really focus people's thought, underneath the hill and the crosses was a question. Here's a question. Do you know the middleman? Do you know the middleman? Well, this is the term that means the middleman. And what did Jesus do as the middleman, or as the mediator, as the word is written? A couple of things I want to mention. First of all, Christ resolved the conflict between us and God. A mediator, that word mediator or go-between or middleman, implies there's a conflict. There's something that's not right. Now, we hear a lot about conflict just about every day. There's conflict in the world between nations. Boy, we know that. There's conflict in the workplace between management and labor. Sometimes you hear about that. Conflict in government, boy, do you hear about that, between Republicans and Democrats, one side of the aisle, another side of the aisle, as we say. Conflict in families, sometimes between husband and wife, sometimes between parents and children, children and parents. And conflict, whether it's in the workplace or in another kind of setting, maybe a marriage setting or what have you, sometimes it needs someone to come in, to step in and resolve the conflict. And sometimes this person is called an arbitrator, sometimes an ambassador if it pertains to nations, sometimes a negotiator in business, sometimes an attorney will do that sort of thing, mediate. A counselor can sometimes do that, bringing parties together and resolving a dispute. But on a more important level, a far greater level, is a dispute, the conflict between us and God. That is the biggest conflict that has ever been, between God and sinful man. Now, why is that? It wasn't always that way. You know, Adam and Eve, they had a wonderful relationship. We read about it in Genesis, the unbroken relationship and fellowship there in the Garden of Eden. Short-lived because what? Sin came in. And where sin came in, relationship went out. Fellowship went out. And so it is. Sin separates man from God. Therein lies the conflict. Isaiah 59 and verse 2, but your sins, that means yours and mine and all sins, your sins have separated between you and your God. And therein is the conflict. Only one person can resolve that conflict. And who is that? The one mediator, the man, Christ Jesus. Something else he did, not only did he resolve the conflict between us and God, but we learn from the Bible that in his role as mediator, here's what he did. He ratified the covenant between us and God. To ratify means to confirm a covenant. Now, we don't normally think about covenants. Maybe the closest thing we think about is a covenant between husband and wife. That is, in fact, a covenant between two people, a sacred covenant. This is. But an even greater covenant is the one that God enters into with sinful man. So this covenant, how did that come about? Who can seal the deal, so to speak? Only one person. Only one person can ratify. Only one person can confirm the covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, it was through the shedding of blood of animal sacrifices that took place. You can read about that time and time and time again in the Old Testament about how God made a covenant with Abraham, in fact, where there was an occasion Abraham was put in a deep sleep, and the Bible says that God passed between the pieces. There were the pieces of an animal cut in half. It was like an aisle or a row. And God went between the pieces, signifying that the covenant was being made. In fact, the language in the Old Testament often was to cut a covenant, because it always involved the cutting of an animal, the sacrifice of an animal, and then the shed blood that sealed the deal. But that was just a temporary covenant. The Bible predicted a new covenant, a lasting covenant, an everlasting covenant. And that's where we come in. The Lord came to establish the new covenant, as it's called. And there are three times in the book of Hebrews, you remember we went through that in great detail, three times it mentions Christ as the mediator of this covenant. Hebrews 8:6. Listen to what it says. "But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry," that is Christ, "by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises." And then in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 15, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament," or another word for testament is covenant, "that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament or covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." And then Hebrews 12 and 24, "And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel." You may remember when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, or what we call communion sometimes, he said, "This cup is the new testament or new covenant in my blood." So he's the mediator who confirmed the covenant, ratified the covenant between us and God. And what does that mean in practical terms? It simply means that because he was willing to die and confirm that covenant, we're included. We're involved in the blessing. We don't get left out. What good would a covenant be if we weren't included in the covenant? If we had doubts about whether we were in this, if God had really, truly loved us that much to want us to be one with him and to live eternally, the only way we could know is that Christ proved that and died, and that is the way he ratified that eternal covenant. So he secures the blessings of salvation. This is crucial. The role of Christ as mediator. But now let's move to a second thing here, and let's consider for just a minute what we might call the requirements of Christ as a mediator. The requirements of Christ as a mediator. And this is what Paul mentions here. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. And who is this? The one that's qualified. The man, Christ Jesus. So as we think about the one qualified, he had to be a certain kind of mediator. And this he is. He's one of a kind. He is both God and man. There's never been another like him. Christians for centuries preached this and sometimes had to debate this and defend this because people could not comprehend this. And so there was false teaching that came in. How can one person be both God and man? And sometimes people would go off the deep end trying to explain it. They said it can't be. He's fully God, but he's not really man. He's sort of man. Others would say, well, he's man, but he doesn't reach all the way up to God. And all of that is nonsense and false teaching. And the Bible plainly says, no, he is fully God and fully man. He's not half man and half God. He's not a superman. He's not a semi-God. He is the God-man. You say, what's the big deal? The big deal is very simple. He did what he did because he is who he is. This is crucial. There's only one who is God in the flesh, and it had to be for him to accomplish what he did. He's the perfect person to represent both God and man. And then he made the perfect sacrifice to reconcile God and man. We know it speaks in verse 6, he gave himself a ransom for all. That speaks of his sacrificial death, doesn't it? He gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Think back to what we said about a mediator, a person who comes between conflicting parties. If they enter into that role, they have to do whatever it takes. They have to be able to reach out to this side and reach out to this side and do whatever it takes to bring the parties back together. And this is what Jesus did when he died on Calvary's cross. He did what he had to do. There was no other way to bring holy God and sinful man together. That was the only way. Remember how he prayed in the garden on the eve of his arrest and looking forward to what he faced? He pleaded with the Father. The same prayer again. If it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Drops of blood oozing out from his pores, because he knew what this involved, the suffering, the physical suffering, the forsakenness of the Father and all of that. And yet the answer came back from the Father in heaven, there is no other way. There was no other way. Had there been some other way, don't you think God would have allowed that? Of course he would. What kind of God would he be? But this was the only way for him to deal with the sin problem. Now, other mediators, like the ones we've mentioned, sometimes they get into rooms. Take a mediator in a business deal or in a government deal. You know what happens? You know what happens. We don't hear, but we don't see it, but we have a kind of imagination of what goes on in those rooms. They get behind there and they say, well, what will you give up? And what will you give up? And so they try to find a middle ground, don't they? And they do what we sometimes say. They cut a deal, you know, in those rooms. They cut a deal and they make a mediation. But may I say to you tonight, God does not make deals with sinful men that put his own nature in a compromise situation. That is, God does not lower his perfection. God does not sacrifice his righteousness or his holiness. He could not ever do that. Think of what God had to do to bring us back to himself and yet not sacrifice or compromise his own character. There was only one way. Jesus satisfied the demands of God's holiness, satisfied his righteous requirements, so that we are now brought back into harmony with him, and yet nothing was ever compromised in any way about sin. The price was paid. Let's get to our word ransom here. Did you know the word translated ransom, verse 6, that's the only time that word is found in the Bible in the original language. It's a compound word. It's made up of the word, the prefix anti, like antichrist, which means in the place of. And it's also a word, the end of the word has to do with a payment price or a price for release of someone who's a captive or someone who's enslaved. So the idea of this word ransom is a price that has been paid on behalf of someone else for their release. Release from what? Release from sin. Release from sin's bondage. And Jesus himself said of his own mission in Matthew 20 and verse 28, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. So this he did. He came as a mediator, the only one, God and man, the perfect person to do the perfect work and make the perfect sacrifice. Now, quickly, the results of Christ as a mediator. What did he do? Well, you know what he did. He restored the relationship between us and God. As a middleman, he restored the relationship. He brought us back into harmony. There was once alienation, now there's reconciliation. There was once hostility, now there's harmony. The issue in salvation is not between man and Satan. We understand what the Bible says about Satan, but that is not the issue in salvation. The issue in salvation is not between man and the church. That is, the object of salvation is not getting people in church. Church is good, but that's not the issue. The issue in salvation is between man and God. That is the issue. And a lot of people, their statements tell you they don't understand this. They'll say, well, you know, I need to get in church. Friend, you don't need to get in church. You need to get in Christ. And when you're in Christ, you'll be in church. You see, it's not the location of our body. It's the location of our spirit. Just like the song, I stand redeemed. That is the standing that we all need. And that's the standing that we all have. So the question, do you know the middleman? Christ is that mediator. One last thing, and I'm going to finish. And that is to consider what it says in verse 6 again. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Notice that word, all. To be testified in due time. We're doing that tonight through preaching. You do that in your witness. You testify of this truth. Then Paul says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. An apostle is one sent on a mission. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. Well, Paul, we would expect you to do that. But yet he says this. He wants to make a point. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. This is important. A teacher, he's called himself a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith, that is in faithfulness and verity, and that means truthfulness. So he's basically saying this word needs to get out. This last thing that I want to say is the reach of Christ as our mediator. Everyone can be included in his work of redemption and reconciliation as mediator. He's the only mediator. There's only one God. And all people, if they are to be brought back into harmony with God, must come through him. Now, that's why it's incumbent upon us to do what Roger said at the very beginning in his announcements about every home for Christ. Because people must know about this mediator. And a lot of people do not. You know, it just gripped me somehow in the singing tonight as they were singing this song, I Stand Redeemed. And I'm thinking, Lord, what a standing. I'm just reveling in that song. And yet at the same time, it crossed my heart and mind. And I pray that it did yours. What about those that don't stand redeemed? Friend, if you don't stand redeemed, you stand condemned. You're either condemned or redeemed. And the only way to be redeemed is to know the Redeemer. To know the mediator. And so he died for all. To be testified to all in due time. And then he must be preached. He must be taught. Even among the Gentiles. That's an amazing statement. Because most all of this book, majority of it, there were hints of it in the Old Testament. Majority of it, though, was about God's chosen people, Israel. And God had that one chosen people. But God's ultimate plan was to reach the world. We know that. But this, Paul being a teacher of the Gentiles, that was phenomenal. That was new. You mean God is concerned about all people? And as we read our New Testament, the light comes on. Of course he is. He always has been. But now the news must go out. Man's need hasn't changed, has it? The message hasn't changed. The mediator hasn't changed. And so we preach the same message, the same mediator to meet the same need. Let's bow our heads in prayer. May I ask you tonight the simple question? Do you know the middleman? Do you know the one who died on that cross in the center? What a picture God put on that hill called Calvary. Place of a skull to show us he was the one suspended between heaven and earth, reaching out, his hands nailed, so as to remind us his reach is all around this world for all people, no matter what we've done, no matter where we are. There may be someone here tonight. If you'd search your heart, you'd be honest. You'd say, I'm not sure that my life is right with God. May I say to you, may I remind you tonight, that Jesus has done everything necessary to make you right with God. Quit trying to please God by changing this or changing that or improving this or improving that. Better yourself or do something that you think might earn more favor with God. That's man's way of thinking. But God says, I've done everything that needs to be done. My Son took care of that. Jesus died, and that's enough. He's the mediator. The work's been done. Would you be willing to trust Him tonight? Would you be willing to take this message, Christian, to a world that needs to hear it? Tonight be a night that we could commit ourselves to do a better job, to be more faithful in getting the gospel out. Lord, please help us. Search our hearts. Show us our need. And Lord, again, I pray there will be a heart of praise and gratitude and humility in all of us tonight to realize what you've done through your Son, Jesus, to make Him the one and only mediator. Thank you for loving us so much to send Him to do what He did that no other could do. In His name we pray, and amen. Let's stand.